So now we move to our New Testament reading. This is Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now Andrew's going to come and share the word with us.
Thank you. Well, let's pray as we get into this text. So, Lord, we thank you that you are a generous God and that none of us can outgive your graciousness, your love, your welcome to each of us. So, Lord, help us to hear your word lovingly this morning, we pray. Amen. Well, as we said earlier in the service, over the next two Sundays, we're going to be talking about money and giving. Oh, I think I just heard a collective intake of breath around the globe, no less, at this service, at the awkwardness of the subject. But I don't think we should be surprised, really, should we? Tim Keller, the late, great Tim Keller, writes in his book, King's Cross, he says, "It's not a coincidence that for every one time Jesus warns about building our lives on sex and romance, he warns us 10 times about money." Money is an emotive topic for many of us, and I include myself within that, because it's something that affects all of us one way or another. But given that Jesus talked about it so often, we should too. It's part of why those of you who are regular members of St Mary's will know we talk about this every year, because it's something that's clearly important to Jesus, and it's important to us as we want to follow Jesus. And I want to think about giving this week as being part of the call of Jesus on us as disciples to be radically generous with our money. And I believe that this is part of what it means to faithfully follow Jesus. Now, I also want to be upfront about a few things because, you know, we're still feeling the impact of unprecedented rises in the cost of living, certainly here in the UK. And I want to acknowledge that for there'll be some of us watching this morning or listening to this, it might well be in a season where money is extremely tight, and you might quite legitimately kind of think, well, do you know what? Whatever you're about to say, Andrew, is not going to apply to me right now. That's not something I'm in a position to do something with. And I want to say two things to that. Firstly, I want to say, if that's the season you're going through, firstly, that God sees you and knows where you are at. And please know that there is nothing but his love. There's no judgment from God on those things, or indeed from this church. And secondly, it's just that reminder to all of us, as we were sharing before the service as well, giving's not the only way in which we are faithful to God with our money. Because it might well be in this season that being faithful to God looks like providing for your family or yourself first and foremost. And that might be exactly what God is calling to you to do in this season by being faithful to him. So those things said, I want to have a look now at the words of Jesus. And the context is important here in this reading. We often think of this story as the widow's mite or the widow's coins. Jesus is teaching in the temple courts in Jerusalem. So he's this teaching takes place not in a hillside or a mountain, but it's in earshot of powerful religious people in the center of religious life and worship in Jerusalem. And in the verses before this isn't the only thing he's teaching at this point. He's been contrasting how people behave with what God has asked them and highlighting how particularly those who should know better, and he makes a strong case for religious leaders being one example of this, have basically been saying one thing, acting one way in public, but not really living it out in the rest of their lives. And so we've been having this series of contrasts. And these verses, the bit we've had this morning, is another one in that series. It's another contrast. But this time, the focus of that contrast is about giving. And the contrast and what he's trying to bring into counterbalance with one another, is about the different motivations behind the giving that he is watching in the treasury. So on one side, you have rich people who are coming in and giving large sums. And on the other side, you have a poor widow and her two small copper coins. And the question Jesus is really trying to dig at and unearth with the people listening to him is this. Which of them has actually given generously? Is it about the amount, the large sum versus the small coins? Is that the answer? Or actually, is it really generous giving isn't really about how much, but it's about something else? And of course, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to realize that Jesus is getting at the something else. Because giving is very rarely about how much we give. But instead, it is nearly always about the heart position of what is given. So Jesus says this to his disciples and presumably to the other religious people and teachers who are in earshot. Truly, I tell you this, the poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. What Jesus is saying is that the rich folks who are giving abundantly, it clearly hasn't actually cost them very much at all. The implication, I suppose, is that it's been done in an affordable way. It's been given away without any real impact on them. There's no sense of sacrifice. They aren't missing out on anything as a result. It's being given out of their abundance. And that's perhaps not the heart that God is looking for. Whereas the widow, by contrast, has given extremely generously. She has literally given all that she had to live on that day. Note carefully, not every last thing she had, but everything she had to live on that day is the implication in the Greek. So she is going to feel some impact of what she has given. She has given generously and sacrificially on that day. Well, what's her motivation? Well, Jesus doesn't really spell it out, but I think if we perhaps think in the wider context of the Gospels, I think it's not an unfair assumption to say that she is probably responding and reflecting back to God the generosity that she felt God had shown to her. Now, we have the bonus in terms of God's generosity of having Jesus, because in Jesus we can see just how generous God is. I mean, Jesus literally gives up everything for us, his status, his power, ultimately his life for us on the cross. And that same spirit of generous giving is what God longs for each of us to grow in our own hearts, a generous heart that reflects his generosity to us. Now, of course, as I said earlier, this applies way beyond just what we do with our money. It's about our time and all of those different things that we have to give. But it doesn't exclude what we do with our finances. It very much includes it. And all those other gifts and giving those is a sermon for another day. So how will we know when we've got there? How do we know when we've achieved this generous heart place? Well, Tim Keller, again, has a fabulous quote on this. He says, about following Jesus in our lives, he says, you're going to know that you've got there when you won't be trying to figure out how much you have to give away. You'll be trying to figure out how much you can give away. You won't be trying to figure out how much you have to give away. You'll be trying to figure out how much you can give away. Now you might hear that and go, ooh, I think I've got a bit of work to do before I'm kind of in that heart place. And don't get me wrong, I hear you. I've been there myself. And I want to share just for the next couple of minutes a little bit from my own experience of what is possible, of Jesus doing that work of transformation in my heart around this whole subject. Because if you met me, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, I used to worry about money. I mean, really worry. I would worry about, would there be enough? Could I do everything I wanted, when I wanted? How could I eke out the money I had until payday? Or how could I find some extra money to get me through to payday? You get the idea. Then age 27, I become a Christian properly as an adult. I start hearing about this generous God who asks the same of me. Talk about awkward. I mean, I remember they would pass the plate at church and they got my pocket change. mean, it's not exactly the a sterling model for future church leadership right there at that moment. And I felt so challenged by what I heard. But I also felt convicted by the Holy Spirit that I was holding on too tight to what I had, and I didn't trust that God would provide. It was, you know, I was getting in the way of how God wanted me to live. And you know, it's you know, I've met folks who have very little, as I've done ministry, and they are often some of the people who are the most generous and have taught me the most about holding lightly what we have. So I signed up to the monthly giving scheme at that church, what I thought was I could manage / get away with. And each year I'd try and trust a little bit more, and I'd increase it a little bit. And then, of course, I meet Susie and get married. And my wife has her heart exactly in the right place when it comes to giving to God. And the model that we see in the Bible, which is a model of tithing, giving 10% of your income, that's what she grew up with. That's like ingrained in Susie as this incredibly giving and generous person as a response to God. And all of a sudden, I realised that Susie and God are going to want me to do the same. And that scared me, I'll be honest. And you know, but I thought, right, I've got to do this. So I bit the bullet. I took the plunge. I did the maths and I changed my standing order. I closed my eyes and winced at how poor I was going to expect to be as a result. Except I wasn't. And the first month came and went, and I felt remarkably peaceful about it. And by month 2 and 3, I didn't actually start to notice the difference. Now, we've done that our whole married life through, and yes, it has been costly. I mean, sacrificial even is not an unfair word to say. You know, there are lots of things that we choose not to do as a result of tithing our income. But that said, we worship a generous God, and we've always had enough to eat, to pay our bills, and look after our kids. We are not rich by any sense of the imagination, but we have enough. But more important, actually, than the balance and the pounds and the shillings and pence of it, far more important than that, is that I do not worry anywhere near as much about money as I used to do. Because I'm reminded by God, and have been reminded countless times, and I'll share those stories another day, of how God reminds me he has my back on this. And every year, as a church, we encourage people to review their giving, to have a conversation in our households, and to prayerfully consider whether we're in a position to consider increasing what we give. And I go back to my caveat at the beginning. I appreciate there will be some people for whom that is simply not a possibility right now. And that's all right. That's completely fine. That's normal in any group of people. But for many of us, we might well be in a position where we can do this. Now, the tithe that I mentioned, 10%, is a very useful benchmark. You might like to use it, work it out, and use it as a target to move towards. That's what I was doing. I kind of went, well, it's that. How can I work towards that a little percent at a time? Maybe think about it giving in terms of a percentage increase. Perhaps you've been fortunate enough to have a pay rise this year. Could you increase your giving by that same percentage? I'd love to encourage anyone who hasn't already joined our planned giving scheme to consider joining it as a first step of giving to God. Everything, you know, everything we get in, we spend on mission and ministry here, right here in Hanwell. And by joining that scheme, it means we can plan much more effectively because we know what money is coming in. Maybe you're in a position to make a one-off gift, an additional one-off gift. Doesn't matter how big it is, how small it is. Would you consider that? Now, I'm going to speak a little bit later in our notices about the focus of our giving and vision this year. And that is that we want to, as Joseph, our musical director, leaves, we are looking to, we've realised that we actually need to employ somebody who actually has an expanded role in order to support and sustain all the growth we've seen and to help us keep us growing and developing in that area. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in the news, but that's what we want to try and expand our income to meet. Again, the key thing to hold on to in all of this is it's not about the amounts. It's about the attitude that lays behind the way we give. Because generosity is part of being a disciple, part of being a follower of Jesus. And Jesus calls us to be generous with our finances like the poor widow, and not to hold on tightly like the rich people in his story. He calls us to give generously as he has given generously to us on the cross. And it's all about the heart position with which we give it, of freely and trusting in God. It's not about whether we have large sums, whether we have two coins or no coins at all. It's about cultivating that sense of deep generosity in us as God has shown us in Jesus. Let's pray.